I'm Heidi Harris. Welcome to the Heidi Harris Show podcast. I do this three times a week. You can find my podcast at iTunes, Heidi Harris Show. I also post them at HeidiHarris.com. Have you been wanting to do a podcast? You're going to be interested in mine today because I've got an expert to give you some great advice. And that's coming up. My new book, Don't Pat Me on the Head, is flying off the shelves. I've got a lot of book signings coming up, so please check out my newsletter at HeidiHarris.com. Please sign up for that, and I'll keep you updated on that also on the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page, too. So for all things Heidi Harris, go to HeidiHarris.com and pick up a copy of Don't Pat Me on the Head at Amazon for somebody you may love who loves radio. Even if they don't like me, they'll like the book because it's all about how I survived in the business for so long. I talk about picking guests and callers and topics and all kinds of cool stuff behind the scenes. So I think you'll like it. Pick it up at Amazon.com. Speaking of podcasting and all that, today I wanted to talk with my friend Perry Michael Simon. He writes for AllExcess.com. He's the vice president of News Talk Sports. He's a podcaster. He's a broadcaster. He's been writing on this for decades. He really knows the industry. And I wanted to kind of get his take on what's happening with the podcast world and how it's affecting commercial radio. Perry Simon, welcome to the Heidi Harris Show podcast.
Good to be here.
So Perry, what's happening? How is podcasting changing radio?
There's never been a time in our history when it's been a better opportunity for people who have something to say to get it out to people internationally and doing it at practically no cost. Mm. That is what podcasting is. It's what streaming is. It is incredible. And it translates beyond that into social media. It translates into websites. You can get your voice out there. You can be heard in a variety of ways, and you could do it with video, you could do it with audio. It's a great time, except for the one thing that I always have to warn people about when I enthusiastically advise them that they should do this, which is that monetization, making a living off of this, is still speculative at best. You hear stories about people killing it in podcasting and making, you know, having all these downloads, and I always tell people, first of all, don't believe any downloaded numbers that you hear, because there's no auditing, there's no standard, there's no standardization of measurement, and everybody loves to embellish their numbers. The number of people who are doing even more than 1,000 downloads an episode is minuscule. There are some that probably push 1 million. Those are a handful. There are some that are in six figures. That's a larger handful. There are some in five figures. That's a much larger handful. But for the most part, you know, 90% of what's out there is doing very small numbers.
I think one thing that would probably help is for more people to target their podcast to a specific interest group. In my case, because I'm already a known personality, I talk about things all over the map. You know, last week I talked to a pain doctor about the opioid crisis. Today I'm talking to you about radio. I might talk to somebody about world affairs, but I'm a known personality. But if you're not known yet and you're starting out with a podcast, don't you think it's a better idea to target, have a very specific interest group of folks who will listen to you?
I think you're exactly right that it is a different world in terms of how to make this work. And by making it work, I mean, it's not just a matter of getting listeners, but it's also a matter of converting that into money. And I think long-term, as the advertisers figure this out, as the content creators figure this out, what it's going to come down to is general interest stuff is going to be really the province of the biggest names. And even there, just getting on and talking about anything is going to be harder to translate into sales figures, into saleable download numbers, than if you can identify an audience, super serve them, and, well, I'll give you an example, at least an explanation, that a lot of advertising for podcasts, maybe most of it, is direct response advertising. It's the kind of stuff that you hear from Carbonite or Go to My PC or things like that, where it requires an action on the part of the listener to go to a website, enter a promo code, and the money that's made by the podcasters is based on how many people answer the call to action. It's I would say it is much more effective if that audience is much more motivated, and they're much more motivated by a couple of things. Number one, they're listening to the podcast because it serves their purpose that they can't get anywhere else. They are extreme movie fans, and it's a movie review show. It's, you know, they're extreme fans of a particular sports team, and the podcast talks about nothing but that team. It's that. It's also the host. There's a relationship on these shows between the host and the listeners that transcends even what radio was able to do.
It also seems to me that there's a lot of clutter on the radio dial. They're still doing traffic and weather and things like that, which you can get on your phone nowadays, or you've got a lot of hosts doing nothing but reading Drudge Report headlines, which, once again, you can get on your phone. Why would you turn the radio on for that?
Well, yeah, and I think the other element to it is elements like traffic and weather and practically anything that used to be considered an essential service element of radio is now served up by apps. So you're not, if you need traffic that bad, you're probably using Waze on your phone or ultimately in your dashboard. Your weather, you know the weather before you walk out of the house these days. You can just ask your device, and I'm not going to say it because there's one in this room, but, you know, the Amazon device that has a name, and you can ask it things, and it'll tell you that. You can get your weather by asking that device before you walk out the door. You don't need to hear it on the radio while you're driving. I think you're going to wind up seeing, before it goes away entirely, you're going to see stations figuring out ways to make those elements come and go as fast as they can, because they are interruptions.
Another thing that talk radio has done to hurt itself is this whole concept of having no bench. Now, I'm not going to trash commercial radio. I had a great time there for 19 years. Who knows if I'll ever wind up back there again or not. But when I left talk radio, they tried everybody in the country for 4 months. They couldn't find anybody to replace me. And it's not that I'm that great. It's just that there's no bench anymore. And that has really hurt talk radio. All they did is have a parade of people who did the Drudge Report, and that's it. And we've done that to ourselves. We have not cultivated the talent that we used to try to do.
I'll take it one step further. Because I don't know that I would say that there isn't a bench, because I think there is talent out there. And I think it's available, and I think it can come from podcasting. It could come from just recognizing people who are in the community. Whether, you know, they could be politicians, they could be business owners, they could be parents, they could be anybody. But it takes a really good talent scout slash coach to know that somebody has the goods. And I think that one of the things that's been hurting the industry, even more so than losing the bench in terms of small market stations where people can kind of, you know, work their way into it, or weekend shows, I think it's that the management of talk radio, in some cases, I swear, I don't think that they would know a good show if it hit them in the face. And I don't think that they recognize what talent can work. And, you know, you can even see that some of the big podcasters who have been most successful and who have legitimate followings are people who did radio and failed in radio. And in a lot of ways, it was because they were being instructed poorly and they were being told the wrong things to do. And the people who were working with them didn't really recognize what made them special. And I think that that's a problem across the board in radio where, you know, and there are some very good programmers, don't get me wrong, but on both a local and corporate level, there are a lot of people who are in charge of finding talent who I wonder if they really know what they're listening for, because I'll hear when they try people out or they'll hire people in, you know, sizable markets, and I have to think, no, you know, there are plenty of better people out there, and I would almost think that you could pluck somebody off the street who would be better than some of the people that I hear on the radio every day.
Oh, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, and that is a problem of management, and it's a long-term problem. I mean, I think it's always been a problem to some extent, but I think it's worse now because you have people who, A, don't necessarily recognize what's good when they hear it, and B, they're also, their job has been split up into a million different things, a lot of which have to do with coming up with revenue in some way, and also covering jobs that other people would have done if they still staffed radio stations the way they used to. Like you have a program director who was hired to be the top 40 station program director and ends up being the program director of the country station, the talk station, the sports station, and some of those stations end up being computers in a closet because nobody wants to actually have to spend the time, let alone the money, to actually hire a local staff and man a studio. It's much easier to just stick the computer on the satellite and just run whatever's cheapest. If it's barter and you don't have to spend a dollar, that the general manager will love you.
Another thing that's interesting is some of these people who are still doing talk radio, if they ever get bounced out, they're going to be in trouble because they're not capable of doing a podcast. There are too many people I know on the air, you do too, who couldn't talk for 10 minutes without a guest or a phone call. They're not capable of it. And if they ever get bounced out, they won't be able to do a podcast like you can, like I can, like a lot of other people can, who can just expand on a particular thought in their mind or topic. And you have to be able to do that, and a lot of podcasters can't.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I always have to tell people that there are similarities between what podcasts are and what talk radio is. And in a lot of ways, podcasting is future generations talk radio. And I mean, it's already the talk radio for millennials and younger, but it is a different art form. And it's actually becoming an even more different art form. And you alluded to something before when you were talking about how it used to be that a talk radio host would have a lot more help than they have now. Well, you look at what's successful in podcasting and and how that medium has been evolving, and you can see that a lot of the most successful podcasts, which tend to come from the public radio universe, and not necessarily all produced by public radio, but they all have a particular sound, they will use staffs. I mean, I always said this, public radio will make with 35 people what commercial radio would make with 10 people.
Oh, please, yes.
And probably, commercial radio would make it with like 3 or 4 people. And the proper number is probably around 12 or 15.
I did NPR the other day. I was a guest on one of the shows there. I walked into the studio, Perry, you'll appreciate this, and there were like 4 pair of Sennheiser headphones, the kind I wear at home, Sennheiser, 4 of them, and none of them were broken.
Wow.
That's NPR for you versus commercial radio.
Exactly. And they will overstaff. You can hear the production values. There's, there's a much greater use of music, much greater use of actualities. There's much more editing done. The pace is different, and they tend to lean very heavily on the storytelling concept, where instead of just having just talking about stuff, which is what commercial talk radio has always done, they will tell you a story. And that has been very successful. And I don't know that commercial talk radio can really do that, or whether it should, and whether it should be developing instead what some others are doing, which is, you can take a look, and we'll put politics aside, but you listen to something like Pod Save America, which is a bunch of former Obama speechwriters and staffers just sitting around and talking about politics. It's a conversational kind of thing, and it is not a talk radio style of conversation. It's more just a bunch of regular guys with opinions talking about the stuff, and that has gotten a very large following. I think that there's going to be more emphasis on the personality as opposed to just following the talking points. And you know that because you've seen that a lot of what gets put on the air these days is, it's basically following the formula. You didn't follow the formula. you're not there.
Tell me a story. Don't read me a story. I'm so done with people reading me the Drudge Report. I'm ready to pull my hair out. And going back to the beginning of our conversation, when we were talking about the weather reports that nobody needs and the news that people can get on their phone and all those things, sports, whatever, they can get the sports scores, whatever. They can also get the Drudge Report on their phone. I don't need to turn the radio on and have you read me 14 stories from Drudge. I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing, which is why a lot of people are turning away from it and turning to podcasts. One thing I don't like, though, when they do a podcast, and I've listened to a few, there are some I like a lot. There's one NPR one I like, How I Built This. I like that one a lot. And there's some others that I like. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If I turn it on and you spend 5 minutes saying hello to each other, hey, Perry, how was your weekend? Hey, Heidi, how was your weekend? I'm out. I'm gone. If it's just nothing but a bunch of people sitting around BSing, I don't want to hear it. But if they get right to it, even if it is more than one person and they know how to do it and they approach it correctly, people don't have the attention span to sit there for 45 minutes. And you've got to get right into it. You've got to respect your audience's time, just like commercial radio, or you're going to lose people.
You have no idea. I'll say this, I worked on the podcasting side for several years in recent years, and I can tell you this, one of the biggest resistance points that I got was when I would point out to the producers of shows that the shows were wasting several minutes at the beginning of the show, not getting to the point, and I would tell them, I'm not telling you this because this is the way radio people do it. I'm telling you this because this is how people listen, and this is what people want, which is they are tuning in to your podcast or a radio show or whatever they are to hear something that they want to hear. They want to hear, they want to be entertained, they want to be informed, whatever, but you have to start doing it. They're not there to listen to you banter about what you did on the weekend and make inside jokes that don't make any sense to anybody outside that studio. They don't care. They just want to hear the show, and you have to start the show. And the response that I would get would be just blank stares, and they would just keep doing it. They would just, because there's like an ego element that just overwhelms everything else, and they just feel like, well, it's my show, and anything I do is what my people want to hear, and that's not true. What's interesting is that goes to the measurement problem. They can't really tell how long into a radio into a podcast people will stick before they bail on it. There's been some research. It's not really like metered ratings like radio, and NPR has done a lot of research on it, and they have found that. The amount of time you get to convince people to listen to through to the end of the podcast, you don't get much time. You get, it can be between 4 and 7 minutes, and it can be even shorter than that. There's nobody to say, hey, you know what, this could be better if you did this. Yeah. And the problem that you have is most podcasts get their big subscriber jump in the very beginning. You start out, and people sign up because you're new. And then it levels off. It drops a lot, and then it levels off. And then, once you're established, it's hard to grow these days because it's hard to break out of the pack and tell people, get people. Again, it's a marketing thing. You have to get people to want to find you and listen to you. And it's harder once you're going to do that because there are just so many, and there are newer, shinier objects that come up.
Yeah, going back to your point about NPR and the reason that they do the TED Talks, and the TED Talks are 18 minutes. Why? Because they've done a lot of research. I know that if I listen to a podcast, you're more than 20 minutes, I'm out. And that's why I keep my own podcast pretty short. I do only do it a couple times a week. I don't do it 5 days a week because I know that if I listen to a podcast, and there are several that I listen to, I get behind, I get busy. You do 5 a week, you're not going to get me on all these 5. And so I tried to set it up that way because if you're doing a 45-minute or hour-long podcast, for the most part, I am not going to be there. And I don't think most people are. But once again, as you mentioned, this is all about the ego. This is all about their platform. And they don't think about their audience. And until there is a way to establish when people click off of a podcast, these people aren't going to get this.
That's right. And we are not there yet. Again, a lot of this is embryonic. We are really at the very beginning stages. Even though podcasting has been around for 10 years, we still have a long way to go before it becomes the primary medium for, you know, audio spoken word entertainment. That's
absolutely,
it's an awkward way to put it, but that's what it is. I think we will get there. I think we'll get there when everything is on an equal footing and you can get whatever it is you're listening for on demand by your voice, as opposed to having to go through menus and download things. I mean, how many people will tell you, yeah, you know, here podcasting is good, but I don't know how to do it, and it just seems like a lot of work.
Once
the friction is gone and you can just get everything just by asking for it, which you can now with the Echo devices, and you will be able to in your car very shortly, once we get there, then everything changes. We're not there yet.
That's true. It's funny. I have thousands of people who listen to this podcast that I do, but I go out in public and people will stop me and they'll say, oh, I miss you on the radio. And I'll say, you're listening to my podcast. I don't really know how to do that. And I want to just pull my hair out, Perry, because I know it's a little slightly complicated at first, but once you get it set it up, it works. But back to your point about once people can get in their car or yell at the device in your house, you know, Alexa, please give me, you know, Heidi Harris Show, then we'll be in a better situation. But until then, it's going to be a little difficult.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny that you should check, because even if you don't have a skill for that device, you still may be available. And that's how, you know, I wound up available. I have, my podcast is called The Evening Bulletin, and if you ask for that from the Amazon or Google devices, it comes up because it's on TuneIn and it's on iHeartRadio. And if you've got those activated, which I think TuneIn is automatically activated when you buy these things, it'll come up. And if you're on those, you know, if your podcast is on there, so will yours. As long as it recognizes what people are asking for, it'll deliver it. When that gets into cars, again, that is a huge change, and it's a huge step up for podcasts. So
I think that's
where we're going. I just would like it to get here faster, and then I'd like the money to follow it faster.
Well, there's some very good advice for you if you're considering podcasting from somebody who knows quite a bit about it. Once again, Perry Simon. You can follow him at allaccess.com. Very knowledgeable guy. And of course, after the NAB convention here in Las Vegas this week, I was out there a couple of days. It's pretty exhausting, that's for sure. Perry Simon, thank you as always for your time and your great advice that people hopefully will heed if they want a podcast.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it. Don't forget, my book, Don't Pat Me on the Head, is out and people are buying it on Amazon, and it's flying out of my hands at book signings. I have a book signing planned at the New Frontier Armory. That's in North Las Vegas. Look it up, New Frontier Armory. That's next Saturday, the 21st, 10 to noon. Please come by and take advantage of a couple of the amendments of the Constitution. First one is free speech. The second one is the right to own guns. So please check it out at New Frontier Armory. The information is up on my Facebook page, and I'm also going to send it out in my newsletter at HeidiHarris.com. Please sign up for the free newsletter at HeidiHarris.com. Don't Pat Me on the Head's the book. Pick it up. On Monday's podcast, Ralph Peters, former strategic analyst for Fox News, is going to be my guest. Now, as you may know, he left Fox because he was just disgusted at the fact that they slobber all over Donald Trump. We're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about Mike Pompeo, what's happening with North Korea, what's happening with Russia, a lot of things. Ralph Peters, always a wealth of knowledge, so be sure and tune in to Monday's podcast for Ralph Peters. Until we meet again, remember, you were created for a purpose. Here's Tony Scott Webb.